Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Jake, what's your favorite part of summer, and what's your least favorite part of summer?
I'd say my favorite part of summer might be, you know, kind of the weather, go out swimming and that sort of stuff. My least favorite part of summer is waiting for football.
Oh, okay. So you tend to get impatient. Like, you want football to be here.
I'm ready.
That's how you view it.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely ready.
That's interesting.
All right, before I give my answers to those two questions, ladies and gentlemen, let us know. What's that text line number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
It will never, ever change. All right, let us know. What's your favorite part of summer? What's your least favorite part of summer? And in the meantime, welcome in to the Adam Carriker Show. The show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. Again, I'm going to shock you with this. It's a loaded show. We're going to talk about Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. My favorite, well, I want to address what you said. Like, waiting for football. I feel the opposite. Because I'm like, football. Like, it's like, I like Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Part of it is food, football, family. You know, it's rivalry weekend, which used to mean more, but still has, I mean, what was there, 20 plus fights and rivalry college games this past year. It still has its meaning and its value. But to me, it signifies the beginning of the holiday season. So my favorite holiday, as much as I love Christmas, is not Christmas or New Year's, it's Thanksgiving, because I have the whole holiday season in my mind to look forward to. So it's interesting. You're like, I want college football here now. And obviously that's how you feel. And that's your perspective. Mine is, I start to look forward to college football and I start to get excited. I enjoy the process of looking forward to something, depending on what the something is, almost as much or more than I do the actual something sometimes. Because once the something or day or the holiday arrives, then it's over. And then I don't get to look forward to it anymore. I don't know. That's just kind of me. I've always in the past looked forward to like the preseason magazines that come out. You know, the preseason top 25 and the Steel magazines and any of the ones, Athlons that you want to mention. So I'd always look forward to those every summer. And then I had football discussions, you know, that would go on throughout the summer, much like we do here on the show. It would just be me and two or three people. And now it's probably still you, me, and two or three people that listen to the show every day. But I like the process and I enjoy the process of looking forward to something a lot of times as much as I do the actual something. And when people start chiming in, let me know what they say. All right. Let's see. My favorite part of summer is probably, it's to me, it's like the one time of year when no matter how bad I try to keep my schedule in line, it always gets out of whack every year. Ever since I was, well, you don't have school as a kid. And then as a college athlete, unless you, I would always take like one summer class. You know, I didn't have a full 12, 15, 18 credit hours. I'd usually do one. I always felt like it was the one time I got a break from my normal routine, my normal schedule. And it depends on your job. Okay. Some people's jobs don't allow them to do that. With me, there's some flexibility there. And then with six kids at home all day, every day, the odds of getting done what I want to get done just go down to like -1,000. It's just not going to happen. And so for me, everything always gets out of whack. Like there were certain things I was going to get done this summer. I don't know how many there were. It's like 7, 8, or 9. I legit can say I've gotten 2 of them done. And I look at the rest of the list and I drew an X in it. I'm just like, it's not going to happen. So for me, it's almost like I kind of enjoy that. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why. It should be inherently frustrating. But sometimes being, you know, like there's no way I'm going to get it done. To me, it almost feels freeing. Like I'm not going to get to it. There's nothing I can do about it. And it's almost a little bit freeing to me, if that makes any sort of sense. But it's a combination of that. It's a combination of, again, I like different weather, like you said, whether it's jumping in the pool or if you can go boating or whatever, and looking forward to college football. To me, it's kind of that combination of everything. As a player, the summer, to me, was always kind of, and you were in summer conditioning, which is the most intense kind of conditioning. Winter conditioning is, there's some conditioning, but it's strength and speed oriented, all right? Summer conditioning is conditioning, strength and speed oriented. So I would argue that it's more difficult just because, you know, big guys like me, we don't like to run a ton. You add in the extra amount of conditioning and it makes it to me a lot more challenging. But that's when I would always start to look ahead to football. And I'm just like, all right, everything's about to get real. It's right around the corner. So as a player, that's how I kind of looked at it. Like, this is kind of my last little break while we're doing summer conditioning right before everything gets real. So I've always kind of enjoyed that. My least favorite part of summer, I'm not a fan of humidity, if I'm being honest with you. So I grew up, most people know, state of Washington, born in Hastings, grew up, but moved when I was 3, grew up state of Washington. So most people envision the state of Washington, you know, like green and raining 9 months of the year, beautiful Puget Sound, and that's the other part of the state. I forget if I've talked about it on the show before or not, like the Rocky Mountains legit go right, kind of right down the middle of the state as you look at a map. So the west side is what everyone envisions. That's the rain, that's Seattle, that's all that. The green, the east side where I grew up, you look on a map, says Tri-Cities, Richland, Pasco, Kennewick. I grew up in Kennewick. It's legit a desert. Like it's like over 100 degrees, not every day, but there's definitely going to be days every summer where it's over 100 degrees. It's a desert. There's tumbleweeds blowing across the road. It would get really, really hot, but like 0% humidity. You come here and there's definitely more humidity. Now, I've lived in other places where it gets ratcheted up. You know, St. Louis was another level. Virginia was another level. And no, the Washington Commanders, Redskins have nothing to do with actual DC. You practice in Ashburn, Virginia, you play in Landover, Maryland. So you really have nothing to do with actual Washington, DC. So when I say Virginia, I mean Ashburn, Virginia, where we would live and practice in the summer and in the offseason. You know, and then when I was down in Florida rehabbing my knee for 6 months, I had never felt anything. My last workout there, like I get cleared. After being down there for months and moving the entire family, and I get cleared, and the next day, I have enough time to do one more intense workout, go all out before we're going to leave Florida for good. And it was a turf field, so that had some heatage. It was August. It was the first week of August. Normally, when you're really, really hot, you can find ways to cool down, whether it's an ice towel, you know, cold water over the head. Even if you're, you know, back when you do two-a-days, you do pads, there were some times I legit felt like I was going to overheat, but they have ways of cooling you down. I remember doing those things that day. It was so hot. It was so humid. Like, it did not help. It's the only time I've ever felt like nothing is helping. I might actually overheat here on this turf. Now, part of that was I hadn't done workouts like that a ton because I hadn't been cleared. So the level of fitness combined with not being used to a certain amount of heat and humidity probably contributed to all of that. But the thing that always tends to get me a little bit more is the humidity more so than the heat. But I think that's because I grew up in heat, ironically enough. Got used to the humidity while I was here. But it was always something to me that was always made it a little bit tougher, even though there's places like go down to the freaking Bayou and LSU. You want to talk about, I don't say Louisiana. I speak in terms of universities, Jake. That's go down to Louisiana. Like, it's straight swamp. Like, that is legit humidity. But that's probably my personal least favorite part. But what comes with humidity, like, the more humid places tend to be, the more green it tends to be, the more beautiful it tends to be. So it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, when I grew up in a desert, not the most beautiful place you've ever seen. or even close, or in the top 1 billion, if I'm being honest with you. Again, completely different than the other side of the state of Washington, where Seattle was, where Puget Sound and Husky Stadium and all that is gorgeous. You go to the east side, there's a reason nobody talks about the east side of the state. They ain't much to look at. All right, you go to Pullman, Washington, where WSU is. The only thing to do there is get extremely hydrated, okay? If you're picking up what I'm putting down, there's not much to look at, not a ton to do. Although the Columbia River, the second largest river in the entire United States, right behind the Mississippi, goes right through the Tri-City. So there, if you can get on the river, get on a boat, do some of those things, there's some gorgeous parks right next to the river. But beyond that, I wouldn't say there's a whole ton there, Jake. All right, what do we got off the text line?
Well, first of all, I'd like to see you fill out a map and like to see LSU down there. Maybe gag me you. See what your state, United States, looks like.
Gag me you. The biggest state in the United States is gag me you.
That's right. Off the text line, Craig says, hate the heat, love less traffic, which is interesting. Got another text in here just says, hate the bugs.
Yeah, more humidity does bring more bugs.
Yeah.
All right.
Mosquitoes, I'm sure, especially.
What do people like about the summer? It's all not positive.
That's what we
so
got
far.
So far. Okay. 7826 says, I love summertime because it's when I get to coach the youth on the track, even outside all Saturday.
That's an interesting thing. So I did not know much about track growing up. Football, basketball, baseball. And then when I was old enough to get into weightlifting, it was football, basketball, baseball, weightlifting. That's what I did. My dad has a carpentry degree, a mechanics degree. I can't build anything and I can't fix jack. Like, it was football, basketball, baseball, weightlifting. He would try. He's like, come over here, learn how this car engine works. Not interested. Come learn how to build this. Don't care. Come, you broke this. You should learn how to fix this. Can I just pay for it and you ground me? Like, I just wanted to go play football, basketball, baseball, and lift. Like, that's all I wanted to do. My dad finally gave up over time. All right. But, what were we talking about? I went off on that sidetrack. Where were we talking about before
track.
That?
We were talking about track.
That's right. So I never did a day of track. My dad wanted me to go do shot put, javelin, just being tall, a stronger kid. He's like, you could be really good. Well, I would have to take time away from baseball. And if you remember, I actually thought I was going to do baseball after high school for a very, very long time. So I never did track. So I have no experience with track. I now have, okay, I'll brag on him a little bit. I have two daughters who qualified for regionals in track. And they're going to go to Iowa here in a couple weeks. And if they do well there, which they seem excited and people think they're going to do well, they'll go to nationals down in Florida. So this spring and summer, and Addie started doing track a couple years ago. It wasn't club track. It was like school track, was a little bit different. This is the first year of club track. So usually one parent, Angie, myself, or there's a grandparent or somebody involved, spends all day at a track event in Omaha. It's almost always in Omaha. We went to Doan this past weekend. I'd never been to Doan's. Campus, university, football field. Very nice. Lots of big trees and a lot of shade. I appreciated that 97 degrees. I was like, yes. I'm not out there running a mile, the 800, the 400. I am sitting my fat butt right here in the shade underneath this big tree, and it was great. Plus, it was quite windy, which I appreciated. Maybe that's people doing events.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I have learned that track is an all-day event. It is an all-day event. I have learned because the long jump is usually the first thing in the morning at about 8, 9 a.m. And then the 100 finals, if you make the finals, which she normally would, Addie would, and then the 4x100 relay is usually at the end of the day, along with the 4x4. So you're legit there from like 8 a.m. to like 5 p.m. These are some long days, man. I used to, I'm not complaining about nothing. I'm glad they love doing it. They're having fun. They're doing well. But man, baseball doubleheaders used to seem long. Like, I'm like, I feel like I'm at a quadruple header, but I'm happy to be here in 95 degree heat rooting for my wonderful children. But yeah, so I'll brag on him a little bit. Addie qualified for regionals, the 100, the 200, the long jump, and her 4x100 relay team qualified. So hopefully they can do well. And, you know, if they go on to nationals, that'll be awesome. We'll be happy to take them. Interestingly enough, our sixth grader had never done a track practice before this past week, yet she qualified for regionals.
Wow.
So allow me to explain. She's big into soccer. So it was soccer, basketball, and dabbling in track coming into this year as a sixth grader. Became very clear basketball. I knew it wasn't her favorite sport. I had no idea how much she really disliked basketball. Like, it was another level I saw. And I was like, all right, I think you should be done. She goes, I agree, Dad. I was like, okay, we're not going to continue that. Clearly, that is not your favorite sport. So then she started to do a little bit more with track. But soccer and track, they collide. Like, their seasons are at the same time. So if there was a track event that she could just show up and go run the event, she'd go do it. Now, she, as a sixth grader, runs a 5:24 mile. Now, I'm not a distance guy, but as an eighth grader, I was running a 6:30 mile. Okay, I'm not a great barometer, but I'm like, she's 2 years younger, beating me by over a minute, you know, based on when I ran those miles back in eighth grade. Probably the last time I ran a mile, by the way. And I was like, holy cow. So she would just kind of show up, and she would either do a mile, or she might do the 8 and the 4. We'd never have her do all three. And regionals is rolling around, and her soccer team is going to regionals, or trying to qualify for regionals. So it's state soccer, state track. That's what it is. They're qualifying for regionals, legit the same weekend. So her soccer team has to play on Saturday. They win. They play the championship game Sunday. Track regionals is Saturday and Sunday. And she's like, I want to do soccer. I want to do track. I'm like, that's a lot of running. And you have trained zero for this. No track practices, no nothing. Are you sure? She's like, Dad, I ran a 5:24 mile and just showed up. I was like, okay. So we held her out of the mile because the soccer games were in the morning. She plays a ton, obviously a lot of running. And we're like, and then the next day, her team was going to play in the championship game. So we're like, oh, man, playing all those soccer games and going and running a mile with people who've been training, that just seems like a lot. And you're going to be tired, and you haven't had the time to adequately train for track because soccer was the priority. Just kind of dabbling in track this year to probably ratchet it up more next year. So we decided to have her do the 400, which was on Saturday, and the 800, which was on Sunday. Do you know anything about the 4 and the 800?
Not a whole lot.
It's pretty much a consensus that while the mile is longer, it's a consensus. Most people have told me the 800 and the 400 are actually the two toughest races because it's pretty much a dead sprint the whole time. Mm. Like, the 400 is pretty much a dead sprint all the way around the track. So, and then the 800 is doing it twice. So we kept her out of the mile simply because it was longer, trying to keep it, you know, a little bit easier for her. But so we put her in the two races that may be the two toughest races out there. So she didn't qualify in the 400 on Saturday. She showed up. She was tired when she got to the track meet. I was like, man, she's tired. I was like, you still want to do this? She goes, yeah, it's one lap. And she did good, but didn't qualify. Again, not trained, very tired when she showed up. So the next day, her team wins the state championship. They qualify for regionals in soccer. She does the 800 that afternoon. She didn't look as tired, but she ended up qualifying for regionals in the 800 without ever having a track practice and coming straight from soccer. So anyway, she had her first track practice because soccer season is now over. They went to regionals, had a great run, did not qualify for nationals, but now she can focus on track. So she actually had her first track practice of her life on Tuesday and the second one on Wednesday. And she's going to be going to regionals here in the next couple of weeks. So Addie qualified in four events, the 1-2, the long, the 4x4, and then Trinity in the 800. So yeah, man, I have spent a lot more time at track and field or track meets this spring and winter than I have, I'm sorry, spring and summer, that I have my entire life combined. And it is an all-day event. But I tell you what, like, the coaches that are there that do that every Saturday and coach those kids all throughout the week on weekdays, they love it. They absolutely love it. And for me, it's been fun to watch because every sport has its own unique culture. Like, we've had kids that have played, and I still won't think of every sport off the top of my head, from flag football to tackle football to basketball to baseball to softball to volleyball. Two kids did hockey, soccer, track. I'm still short because there's 11 and that's only 9. Did I say volleyball yet? I don't know if I did. Gymnastics for a little bit. That's kind of cheating. That was only a couple years for a couple kids. It's interesting because I've learned softball has its own unique culture. And I'll tell you right now, youth football, their culture is completely different. And then you've got basketball, which is kind of somewhere in the middle. And then baseball kind of etches towards softball, but it is different. And then track is like every sport has its own unique culture of what's expected within that sport, within the club sports and whatnot. And so it's been interesting and fun for me to learn the culture of at least club track all the way up through eighth grade here in Lincoln and Omaha. And it's been fun for me because I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to expand my horizons. I'm always trying to grow and evolve and learn stuff that I didn't already know. And so for me, it's been fun. And I can help Addy a little bit because the 100 is so much about your start. And when I trained for the NFL draft, I didn't come out of blocks, but it's all about the start. The 40 and it's all about the start. So in my own way, I can't really help Trinity a ton. That is not my world. The 800 or the mile, but I can relate to the start and the explosiveness and things of that nature. So it's been fun for me to kind of be able to help a little bit, but mostly step back, watch and learn. So have you spent much time at these, at a track event? What do you know about track and things like that?
Yeah, I don't know too much about track. I wasn't very good when I was a kid at it. Those hurdles I had to jump over a little bit differently because I just couldn't straight make it. So that was always fun. But, you know, like I think it's just kind of interesting, like you said, the different cultures that come out and the passion that comes through them. And that's what I do know about track is, like you said, the people that are in the track are very passionate about it. And, you know, that's very cool. And it just kind of I saw another text here. From somebody says, you know, his favorite thing about summer, his or her favorite thing about summer is Saturday night at Eagle Raceway. So it just kind of reminds you, you know, everybody's kind of got their different things that they're into and you know, of what you're looking for. So I'm sitting back here pouting about football, not being here. Other people are really embracing, really enjoying the summer. Yeah. And it's that time. So, I mean, it is summer is just, it's such a good time. I kind of live vicariously through kids out there, you know, because when you were in high school or grade school, obviously summer was just the best. The best part about summer, no school, obviously.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's always a good time to be had. But I just feel like it's the most positive season, maybe. People just because I think partially because of your school kind of going back to that and just how awesome it was to have school off.
No, I would agree with that. And that's part of why I like unique seasons. When I say I like unique different seasons throughout the year, of course, I'm initially talking about the weather, and I just like different, you know, I like it to be really cold in the winter, and I like it to be hot. I can always take the humidity or leave it, but in the summer, like, I like those variety and changes, but also the things that come along with each season. And, you know, summer in particular has its own uniqueness, especially because school is out. Did you get another text there? You look like you did.
It was just kind of interesting looking at Money G in Kansas says youth wrestling tournaments. Or he puts it the worst. I think he means as far as time spent that day. He said, sit all day in a gym, wall to wall, people to watch your son or daughter wrestle, hopefully 5 or 6 times for 3 to 8 minutes. Although would love to do it all over again.
So that's the one sport I haven't never had a kid who wrestled. I have been told things about, you know, youth wrestling and the culture and the time that it takes and whatnot, but I don't have any firsthand experience. It's interesting. I never said a word, but Addie's like, after the second track meet, she goes, how do you like sitting around for 10 hours for me to run a 14-second race? And I'm like, Addison, I love it. Just like I love you so much, and I love it. So I can get it, the track version of that for wrestling. So I get it, and that makes sense. I will tell you this, because I watched the head track coach. His name is Ramon, and he actually played running back at Doan. He was actually with the Jets for a couple of years. He told me he ran a 4.32 40. That's what he told me. He's actually going to be running the combine at our Chronicles football camp that the ticket's going to be live on location for. He's going to be in Coach K, one of his assistant coaches. They're going to be running the combine. This dude loves track. Like, I watched him Saturday at Doan. Never once looked for the shade like I did. Out on the hot turf, 97 degrees, walking around for hours, just the biggest smile on his face, coaching, encouraging the kids. And I'm just like, God bless you, man. I'm sitting here in the shade, and I'm having fun with the breeze, but I'm just like, wow, I don't know if I could do that weekend after weekend after weekend, but that is his passion. And they actually did a coach's race about 3 weeks ago. I forget which track meet it was. It was one in Omaha. And so every team had to put together a 4x1 relay coaches team. Mm. So I don't know if the 4-3-2 is legit. I was not there. But I did watch him run that day. He blew everyone out of the water. Like, the Olympus Track Club 4x1 coaches relay team blew everybody else out the water, and Ramon was the anchor. I was like, okay, that's impressive, as I'm stuffing my face with nachos, you know, looking for the shade. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that none of that was planned. You never know what we're going to talk about on this show. We do have some recruiting updates. All right. What? Because the other day, we went through Nebraska's schedule, and we went out on zero limbs, okay, and kind of talked about what a fair expectation for the record would be. And then it kind of occurred to me, because Indiana, think about this last year. Who was talking about Indiana making the college football playoff? Zero people. Maybe Kurt Cignetti. That was it. Mm-hmm. Okay. SMU. People forget about SMU. Nobody had them anywhere near the college football playoff at this time last year either. So I was like, what if we just chatted, if Nebraska was, I'm not saying they're going to, I don't even have Kool-Aid next to me. I have a Cherry Coke next to me. Not even drinking, okay, Kool-Aid today, which I love to sip in the offseason. Favorite color is red. Favorite flavor is red. But what would it look like? As we're going to kind of go through the schedule again. If Nebraska was going to make the college football playoff, what would have to happen? So we're going to discuss that today. And we got some very interesting stats throughout the show we're going to share with you fine folks at home. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.